It's easy for me to show my appreciation to them because they have supported me right throughout the season. But I feel as if I've sold them short. I don't feel as if I've done well enough for them. And that really disappoints me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast, the last one of the season, I guess. Although I'm sure we'll be back over the summer. It's not like no football stops us doing these things. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt, and columnist for the Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, and news editor. What's the exact title, Clarkey?
Head of news.
I should know that, really, shouldn't I? Ian Clark, anyway, is here as well. So obviously we've got a few things to reflect on. When did we last do one of these? Was it after?
It was a pretty gloomy one after
United game,
yeah,
and Twittergate with Mr. McNally. So we've obviously since had a fantastic win against a side who didn't turn up in Watford, and relegation confirmed, and then the kind of almost no show really at Everton, and all the subsequent fallout. It's all confirmed, and it's all a bit sorry, really, isn't it, going into the summer, Pad? Do you feel a bit of that?
No, I'm just glad it's over, mate. That's what I feel at the minute. It's been a grind on and off the pitch in the last few weeks. Well, the last few days off the pitch, certainly. But we know where we are now. Everybody knows where they are. You know, Norwich will be in the Championship next season. They need a new chief executive, and they need some new players, and they probably need to get rid of a few old ones. So all that combined means a big summer ahead.
And some interesting messages from Alec over that time, in terms of he wants to refresh the squad. He thinks that some players have been there too long. At the same time, he doesn't want to overkill, because that's a really difficult balancing act, and some of the youngsters are going to get involved. All leads, I suppose, primarily with the chief executive appointment, but to a really, really big, interesting summer.
Huge, yeah. I mean, if the stated aim is to bounce back at the first attempt, that's noble, but it's very tough now, because there is a sense that there's a few players in that squad who've probably reached the end, I think. You know, two demotions in three seasons. They looked a bit stale to me by the end. They looked to be running on empty, and I think it needs a freshening up. So, but underpinning anything in or out is obviously being able to do the business. And, you know, that's clearly, the manager alluded to it quite forcefully. That's what let them down last summer. They can't afford to make the same mistakes this summer, because if they're playing catch-up in the Championship, then you fear they'll be too far adrift, and it's imperative that they hit the ground running, I think, because if they are playing catch up, then unfortunately, as much, and Clark, you might touch on this more than me, but all this goodwill for Alex Neil, I think that'll evaporate if you don't win any of your first five games, and people are realising that they could be in it for a little bit longer than the season.
Yeah, this is the thing, Clark. Keep following Norwich City through thick and thin, your good self. Are we thick or thin at the moment?
There's plenty of thin going on. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, in some ways, maybe we went up a year too early and, you know, peaked too soon. I think this year most fans would expect us to go up or be very close. If you miss out one year and then you have another good year and get up, you're okay. But it's when you then get into year three, year four, and you become, dare I say, an Ipswich, or even the Wolves, as in the Forest. Those, you know, Leeds, big clubs that have just not been anywhere near going up, have they, really? So it's a massive summer, and I think the word freshen up is exactly right. And there are plenty of players that I'd like to see go along the A11 or the A47 the other way.
Well, maybe that's what we should touch on then. Would you like to name some names, Clarkey, as a fan? What would you like to see change?
I'd like to see Bisson go. He's not my cup of tea. I think closer, if we can keep him, I think he's a... I know it's maybe a bit touch and go with the all-stay, but I think he's the real mark of quality in the middle. Bisson, to me, isn't. Ryan Bennett, when close is there, they look really good together. Players like Malumbu, I mean, I was sitting in disbelief at the end of the Watford game, where, you know, just been relegated. Most of the players look pretty fed up, or worse, you know, or more serious than that. And Malumbu comes charging across the pitch, you know, waving his arms, laughing away. And I just thought, that's a sign of somebody who doesn't really care. So I'd actually tipped him to be player of the season before kickoff, because I thought he was going to come in and do the business in the middle, but he hasn't done anything to me, so he can head back wherever we came from.
They were late, weren't they? Him and Sobat of the tunnel. Half the players were, I think, they were already round to the sort of community infill stand. So that was the quickest we've probably seen Yusuf run all season.
I mean, it wasn't the question of him running. It was just that sort of complete naive laughter that fans would have thought, well, what is all that about?
Norwich will get 2 years of parachute payments. I think it's about 40 million and then like 20 something or other. I may have made the second figure up, but it's something like that. They don't get the third year because they only spent 1 year in the Premier League, which is how the new rules work. I mean, how are Norwich geared to keeping these players that they want to keep, Paddy? Because it's the big question. I mean, Ian Clarke mentioned Tim Closer. I mean, I can't imagine a championship that sees him playing in it, but do you share that view?
Don't know, is the honest answer. Don't know. I mean, if he gets himself fit and he does feature in the Euros for Switzerland, then I think the reality is then he would probably not be at Norwich at the start of the season. If that's too soon for him, and I think he would maybe give it a go until January, and then obviously the window opens again and then everybody can reassess. If Norwich are nowhere near it, then you shake his hand and wish him all the best. But if they were looking like they were coming back again, then, you know, he might see it out. But very difficult to say with him. Redmond, I think, will go. I think that's a lot clearer, you know, his contract situation, and also there's clearly interest in him, a lot of interest in him, from what I'm led to believe, from Premier League clubs. So I think with all these, it's an equation, and all the pieces fit together, then you know the outcome. And I think with that one, it's pretty clear that he's probably feels he's reached the end of his road with Norwich. He went down and had a go in the Championship. He's not likely to do it, is he, at 22 years of age? His career's going upwards. So I think, sadly, that'll be a part in the ways. And I would fear Robbie Brady would probably go the same route. You know, 12 months ago, he left Hull and he made it clear he didn't want to play in the Championship. Well, what's going to have changed in the last 12 months? And he's also got the shop window of the Euros. So for me, I don't think you'll be seeing Brady or Redmond. Beyond that, though, I wouldn't be as cut and dried. I mean, there's a lot of talk about House and would he go, but, you know, I don't think personally he would. But if they could get decent money in for them too, then they're in a kind of scenario where they were 2 years ago, where they let Fair and Snodgrass go and more or less retained everybody else they wanted to retain. So sadly, I mean, you talk about the finances there with the parachutes. I mean, there is a financial reality, and that seems to be increasingly a debate about the ownership and whether they've got deep enough pockets. But if you can get big money for those two, then allied to the parachute money, I think that at least allow them to have a good crack for a year or two.
Yeah, where do you stand on this, Clarke? Because you've had a few bits written in the paper, well, since the Watford game, really, about where, you know, Norwich's maybe limitations, where the goals lie, and what the sort of desire is that Norwich fans want from their football club.
I mean, I wouldn't want to see a foreign owner who just comes in and transforms. I'm perhaps a little bit old-fashioned in the family feel, and maybe that is too many of us feel like that, so we will never really move on to the top, real top table. But I just think there's something very special about Norwich, and I wouldn't want to lose that by just having a faceless owner who comes in changing everything as he wants or she wants. And there has to, you know, I know we've talked about prudence with ambition, and I think a lot of clubs, you know, we take Leicester as an example, an extreme example, but yes, they spent money, but they've bought wisely, and they've used some players where other clubs have been relatively average and just brought them through, created that real team spirit, the real, you know, band of brothers. And I think that's at the heart of what we're going to do. We're going to really get that team spirit back and togetherness.
I think that's probably the key frustration for me from the season, is that it feels like, be it recruitment, what they were doing on the pitch, maybe they're in terms of you know, the resources they've got at Colney, it just feels like they don't get the maximum out of what they've got. And that is something that Leicester have done, and again, it's a sort of an exaggerated case, but just getting that maximum and beyond out of everything you've got, the sum of the parts being greater than the individuals, you know, all that sort of stuff, which Norwich have been there before, and I suppose they were there last time they got promoted from the Premier League, but it sort of hasn't been there since, even when Alec maybe took them back in the Championship. I mean, that squad was a very good team for that division, wasn't it? And is that going to be a little bit different with the season that's ahead next year, Pad, if it's not too soon to start thinking about it?
What were you talking about, when they get back up again, you mean? Or,
well, in terms of next year, they had a good squad. I mean, are you expecting them to be able to do that again, to be at that level, or is it going to be more competitive? Is it going to be tougher for them, effectively?
Yeah, I think it will be tougher, undoubtedly, because, you know, OK, they came down 2 years ago, but they'd been in the Premier League 3-4 seasons prior to that. So there wasn't that feel of the yo-yo, which is a term I'm hearing increasingly now about them. You know, they had kind of stabilised looked to have stabilised and unfortunately slipped out again. But you had a core of players who'd been operating in the Premier League for three seasons, and they were clearly good enough, and albeit they took it to the wire, but they proved that. This set of players, I think, weren't good enough. So are they going to be good enough in the Championship? It's debatable. That I just think it needs a renewal. It's not a case of are they good enough, because you take a Cameron Jerome, for instance, yes, he probably will score you a few goals in the Championship, but again, you're going to be in the same scenario in 12 months' time if you, by hook or by crook, got up again. So as much as, yes, OK, the initial part of this process is stabilise, then kick on, and then push on again, but this is where it comes back to me, to the strategy now. It's not just about this summer, about getting the one or two players who might improve the squad and might renew it. It's what do Norwich want to do, you know, for the next X amount of seasons. Are they just happy to almost go hand to mouth on a season to season basis, or are they really going to, you know, for the first time probably in a long while, Alex Neil, he's often talked about putting his stamp on a football club. For me, he's got the opportunity this summer, and that might sadly mean they don't come back at the first attempt, but if they're actually stronger going forward, then I think people would accept that.
Clarkie, how do you sit on Alec Neil? Because it's been obviously an incredible reception that he got at Carrow Road on Wednesday night. He got a pretty good vocal reception from the fans at Goodison Park on Sunday, despite a pretty awful performance. I know from Canary Call and from the live coverage you've got at Pinkin.com, it's a little bit more mixed. And even in the away end on Sunday, there are a few sort of fans who weren't maybe quite as convinced. It's going to be a big year for him next year, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and he's still got a lot to learn. I mean, as I said earlier on, maybe we went up with him one year too early, and if he'd had another year of really learning his trade, then we'd have gone up this year. It could have made a difference. But I still think there's something about him. I think he's got a good football brain. And I wonder whether he maybe needs someone alongside him, not particularly any names in mind, but a wise old head that knows that he's the boss and he's not going to come in and undermine him. But, you know, you always say behind every great manager is a great coach or a great number two. You know, we think about the Cloughs and the Fergusons over the years. They've had somebody who's been a really, really good supporter. Maybe he needs that just to, when things aren't going well, either during a game, before a game, after a game, will just put their arm around his shoulder or have a quiet word in his ear, or maybe a loud word in his ear. And maybe that's what he's been missing.
So that's something that's come up quite a bit as well from some fans, Pad, but and I can't see Alec ever wanting that to happen.
Well, it's not just now. He was asked that when they were struggling earlier in the season, and I remember exactly the quote, you know, I'll stand and fall by my own decisions. He doesn't feel them over where he thinks that's a sign of weakness or a lack of strong leadership, but his view is, you know, he'd rather fail with his own mistakes than, you know, taking soundings from others. But I'd be inclined to agree with Clarkie now. I think it isn't a sign of weakness, really, is it?
Well, it could be the opposite, some would say.
Yeah, I mean, the amount he's had to take on his shoulders this season, particularly learning certainly at this level for the first time, and I mean, you can see it has taken an impact in some of the ways he set his teams up. Again, since Watford, he's made it clear he thought he got it wrong against Sunderland. I mean, that follows on from Newcastle away, and yeah, everybody makes mistakes, but I think there was a sense that he'd kind of gone away from what had basically got him to the Norwich City hot seat, you know, and that can only be, I think, the pressure and the intensity of the job, and to have, as Clarkie says, somebody you could basically, whether it's a pick the phone up job or somebody there in the background at Colney Carr Road, I don't think that would do him any harm whatsoever. But no, that's a long-winded way of saying no, he won't change. I don't think he's his own man very much so, and that's the way it's going to be, I think.
We were in the mix zone for Watford and Everton. Everything's great. So let's have the best of the quotes from, I think it was, Alec Neil from both games, Russell Martin and Gary O'Neill.
I think the first goal pretty much summed up our season, to be honest. You know, I think we had a good break down the right-hand side, great ball into Cameron, about 7 or 8 yards from goal, and had a header which the goal collected comfortably. And I think within 20 seconds, the ball's in the back of our net on the other side, you know, and with 3 or 4 occasions where we could have stopped it. And defensively, we sort of we didn't get in back quick enough and prevent it from being a shot at goal.
We fell short in certain areas. Taking our chances has been a big one. We created enough, probably as much as them today, if you look at the chances. We didn't manage to take any, so I'm sure that the club will look to address a few things before the start of next season, which is going to be big.
I just think we've probably flitted in and out of too many styles this season because we haven't been consistent in one enough, and you know, the manager's just said that he feels like he's let us down, but we've let him down as well, so it's a, you know, it's a collaborative thing. It's everyone's responsible, and we need to learn from it and make sure next season we're feeling much better than this coming in the season.
We've got some good players, yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if there is some interest. Some players have still managed to show decent form this season in a tough season as a team. There have been some very good performances individually. So I'm sure when you have decent players like this, there will always be interest. Having said that, I'm pretty sure the club won't want to lose too many. Judging on how they did it last time they went down, that was successful. So I'd guess we'd be fairly similar to that again.
It's been a tough season. I think it's been a season where we find ourselves in a real good situation with maybe 5-6 games to go. We didn't take advantage of it and we've paid the price for that. And this side it hurts, you know, it's difficult, but what you've got to do is you've got to bounce back stronger, and we've got to make sure that we refocus and get everybody that's going to be here and taking part to get in that mindset, and if they're not, then we'll need to freshen up.
And clearly you want to be here next year.
Yeah, right, of course,
Do you think about those things beforehand, or is this like now when you start training?
Yeah, like you can't tell where you're going to be next week in football, but I want to be here. I'm captain of this football club, I love playing for this football club, and I want to get us back to the Premier League. It's as simple as that. So yeah, I'm hurting at the minute, and need to make sure we use that for next season.
I think there's been a number of players been here for a number of years. I think we've got a squad that's getting older, and I think there's a lot of work to be done, but it's easier said than done.
Should we have a verdict on the Watford game and the Everton game? I don't know how much detail we really need to go into them because they meant nothing.
No, I mean Watford. There was some, you know, some bit of a bizarre, surreal night, wasn't it? But there was some good signs. I thought the tempo was good, the finishes were decent. I mean Watford didn't really look particularly interested, did they? But I mean, I wasn't.
PK Flores is now done for the season, so
it's a bizarre world, isn't it? I mean, I wasn't at Everton, but from everyone I've spoken to, including you guys, and having listened on to the commentary and followed you on Twitter, it just sounded like a complete no-show. So it's a very, very strange week. You would have thought that we could have just, you know, moved on from Watford and had a decent end to the season, which could have given a little bit of momentum going into summer. And there was quite a lot of gloominess now after a little bit of a lift from Watford, even though that obviously came on the night when we were doomed to the drop.
Yeah, a few players turned it on, didn't they, against Watford, and then they all made sure that the questions wouldn't go away with what happened to Everton, Pat.
Well, you know, it's nice of them to remind us why they were in the state they were in, given that Everton performance. But therein lies the inconsistency between two performances, irrespective of how motivated Watford were. They showed what they're capable of, unfortunately, at both ends of the extreme. And sadly, certainly on the run-in, we saw too much of the Everton than we did of the Watford. And that's why that squad wasn't good enough. And that's why it needs to be broken up, in my verdict.
And it's the away performances, isn't it, really? I've got to try and remember this. This is off the top of my head, but I have a feeling they only scored 2 goals away from home after their win at Man United. But I mean, that is awful. Again, and I know they're different divisions, Alec Neil was unbeaten away from home in the Championship up until the defeat at Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, was it 3 wins in the whole season? Yeah. West Brom, Man United and Sunderland. Obviously, Sunderland was very early on. And you know, I haven't travelled this season, but again, from what I hear and what I read and talking to people, it just often don't look like they're going to do anything. You know, you go one behind, and that's almost it. Shut the door, you know, good night, and let's head back home. Which you've got to be competitive in these games. I mean, even if you do go behind, you've got to fight it back. And you know, Sunderland's an example of that will rue. But they, you know, they like at Liverpool when they went behind, they just kept going, didn't they, and fought their way back.
Sunderland stayed up as most people probably have expected in the end. Newcastle beat Spurs 5-1 on the last day of the season. Do you see them as the favourites next year, Pat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you finish above them, you're going up, I think. Whether Benitez stays or not, if he stays, even more so. But even if he doesn't, Ashley will throw money at it. And clearly they will lose players, but much like I think under Hughton when they came down, they basically ran away with it that season, and I can see exactly the same. They're just, sadly for Norwich's point of view, they're just too big a club to be languishing there for any length of time, even if they are badly mismanaged off the pitch, which would clearly seem to be the case. But even with those limitations, I think head and shoulders, they're the best team in the division for me next season. Yeah.
And we get to come up against Chris Hughton at Brighton, albeit because they failed in the playoffs, with I think the second most points that any side's ever got without going up.
15 ahead of Sheffield Wednesday, weren't they, who obviously then beat them. But it'd be interesting to see how they respond. I mean, they had generally a good season apart from the end, and if he can get them regrouped and strengthened a little bit, they could still be reasonably strong next year. But I think there's a lot of teams in there he will be a really tough prospect, and yeah, absolutely right, it's going to be a really hard season.
You don't have to answer this. Is there one player you'd like to see them recruit for the championship push? Is there one who sort of stood out? Because talking about Brighton, I know that Lewis Dunk is someone that's been mentioned, and he has been linked in passages with Norwich, centre back obviously.
Can't think of a not a specific name, but a position, definitely they need a striker for me in the Andre Gray, Callum Wilson mode, because that's your modern striker, mobile, can do all the things that Neil loves in his strikers outside the box, but they certainly weigh in with their share of goals, and also they're young enough to improve if they go up a level again. Sadly, there's not too many of them about outside the Premier League that I can see now, and obviously Gray will go up with Burnley, but yeah, they could have had him last summer, and to me, not to rake over old ground, but missing out on a striker in that mould was criminal.
Heard you talk about Andre Gray a lot in the last few weeks.
To be fair, I was talking about him when Brentford came down here, because he scored pre-season, and I think he made quite a fool of Russell Martin on that day as well. And I know it was only pre-season, but that allied to the two games in the Championship, you just thought this lad has got something, but you know, it wasn't to be. I don't think he was ever particularly on Alex Neil's radar, but. And we all know Wilson decided that Bournemouth were a better bet than Norwich, and you'd have to say that was pretty good foresight, I mean.
Yeah, not bad. How about you, Clarky?
Well, I can't think of anybody who fits this mould, and I'm going to sound a bit old hat here, but I want a Malky, a Flem, a Ewan and a Holty. Now, I don't know who they are going to be, but I think we need a bit of ugly, not saying they don't... not good lookers, because they'll come and beat me up, but you know, a player like that will grab the game, that will at either end will rough up the centre forwards or will rough up the centre halves, and that will just galvanise the team and give that real talismanic leadership on the pitch.
What you're talking about there is basically Leicester's captain, isn't it, Wes Morgan? I mean, nobody would say, not even Wes Morgan, that technically he's as good as, I don't know, pick any other accomplished centre-back, you know, an Alderweireld or a Vertonghen or a Vincent Kompany, but my God, he gets that team playing, and then they all follow him, and you know that the lot of them clean sheets would have been down to him and Huth, who, again, not pleasing on the eye, but mightily effective.
You look at John Stones, I think he's a great footballer, but how many times he's been caught out, how many times he's tried to be too clever, whereas you're right, Morgan, how many times has he been caught out and tried to be too clever? You know, if it needs to go in row double Z, then put it there.
Always makes me smile that we ask these questions and fans will say it, and oh, you know, who do you want to sign, who's this and that and the other. There are a lot of people paid a lot of money to be scouts, and you know, that is their job, to dig these people up, and that's, you know, that's where it all moves to, that sort of focus. The thing for me, a lot of people have said about how Cameron Jerome, you know, will get you goals in the Championship. Those goals he got in the Championship for Norwich last time primarily came because he had a fair bit of competition. He had Lewis Grabban pushing him. Lewis Grabban was softening up half of these defences before Jerome came on and scored. And then Gary Hooper as well. He had three strikers who were at least getting in amongst the goals. So, and at the moment, they've only got Cameron Jerome, haven't they, really? That's a major area of rebuilding. The one thing we should probably touch on before we go is the chief executive vacancy. It's ongoing. Paddy, are you any closer to getting to the bottom of what's going on than me, because I'm not on it.
It's not me or you, mate, I'm pretty sure, or Clarky for that matter, but I get the sense that basically they're not going to rush into this. They're going to go through a proper recruitment process. I've heard talk of headhunters and which is encouraging, because that tells me that that board openly admitting they don't have the nous to sort of try and go into the world of football and pluck somebody out. They're going to actually go to a company who know exactly what they're looking for and recruit that top corporate high flyer. So with obviously the football background that Ed Balls was outlining, so I don't think it's going to be any time soon, but I don't think that means that there's nothing going on and it's a ruddle of shup at Car Road. It's clearly Neil, for me, was the key piece in the jigsaw. He's on board. You've got Balls around him. You've got Steve Stone as well, interim chief exec. So the player recruitment side, which is obviously the thing that needs to be happening here and now going into the summer, I think that is ticking over. And and then eventually when the time is right, they'll unveil the chief exec. But timing was horrendous, but obviously he had his reasons.
Indeed, and we don't need to rake over that again, I guess. Do you have any thoughts on it going forward, though, Clarkey?
I think it's a really key appointment, and you know, on the pitch, clearly your man there is a massive importance. But you know, the football is such a big game off the pitch now, the finances and everything else, and you want someone who is a good businessman, who's an astute guy or woman, but you want someone that knows football as well. So I think if that's right, they are going to go out and find the best, then we've got to be patient and think that it's better to do that than just rush in and grab someone off a shelf who isn't the right person.
I would be surprised if the role didn't change and that whoever comes in is not the total overseer that David was. I imagine there'll be a bit more delegation in that. Andy Cullen, maybe. We'll see. Depends who, you know, the headhunters or whoever come
kids
up with.
Be more kids for a quid back. I remember when my lad was little and Andy Cullen brought that in and we were happy as a family.
So they owe the attendances to them. They've sold out their season tickets again for the year in the Championship. So the ground will be full, at least in terms of official attendances. Hopefully the football will be good enough to keep everyone in the ground. We'd better wrap this up because we're all off to the Redwell Brewery tonight. Well, we're not all. You're not going, are you, Clarkie?
No. I've had to have a night off football, haven't had about 10 days on the trot.
Lightweight. But me and Pad will be at the Pinker magazine launch with Ewan. Going to be asking you some questions. Pad, are you ready for the grilling?
Nobody wants to hear what I've got to say, Michael.
Okay, I hope they do. Well, it's going to be quiet for like half an hour.
I'm at Ewan. He's the man.
Brilliant. Well, grab the magazine. It's at most places where you'd buy magazines. I'm sure you'd be able to find it. And if you can't find it, then have a look at the website, pinken.com, which, of course, have all the updates throughout the season, at the summer even, close season, if you like, on the transfer rumour mill and chief executive appointment and everything else in between, pretty much. But thanks, Pat. Thanks, Clarkey. Thanks to everyone we've had in on the pod over the course of the season and to you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. It's been a cracking year for the podcast. And we'll be back again with a bumper season of 46 games. I can't wait. Let's have a summer break, shall we? We'll see you on the other side and see you over the summer, I'm sure. Bye for now.